Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning, I'm Roland Martin. Next on News One Now.
Do you make the same commitment that you will absolutely, sir, that you will absolutely accept the result of this election?
I will look at it at the time. I'm not looking at anything now. I'll look at it at the time.
Even Republicans are slamming Donald Trump this morning for that comment. We'll talk about that and other issues that came up during last night's final presidential debate in Las Vegas. We'll break down the highlights, the lowlights of both Trump and Clinton, who made the best argument to be commander-in-chief of the United States. So we'll have it all for you right here on News One Now on TV One. Let's go.
Do you make the same commitment that you will absolutely, sir, that you will absolutely accept the result of this election?
I will look at it at the time. I'm not looking at anything now. I'll look at it at the time. She's guilty of a very, very serious crime. She should not be allowed to run. And just in that respect, I say it's rigged.
Are you saying you're not prepared now to commit to that principle?
What I'm saying is that I will tell you at the time. I'll keep you in suspense.
Well, okay? Chris, let me respond to that because that's horrifying. You know, every time Donald thinks things are not going in his direction, he claims whatever it is rigged against him. He is denigrating. He's talking down our democracy. And I, for one, am appalled that somebody who is the nominee of one of our two major parties would take that kind of position.
A stunning moment in last night's third and final presidential debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, with the Republican presidential nominee refusing to say whether he will accept next month's election results. For weeks, Trump has been claiming that the election is rigged, even though a single vote has yet to be counted. Last night's debate included some tense and angry exchanges, especially when it came to personal issues that have been dogging both candidates. In the overall question, which of them is best fit to be president of the United States, starting with the sexual assault allegations that have been plaguing Trump.
Well, first of all, those stories have been largely debunked. Those people, I don't know those people. I have a feeling how they came. I believe it was her campaign that did it. Just like if you look at what came out today on the clips, where I was wondering what happened with my rally in Chicago and other rallies where we had such violence. She's the one in Obama that caused the violence. They hired people, they paid them $1,500, and they're on tape saying, be violent, cause fights, do bad things. I would say the only way, because those stories are all totally false, I have to say that. And I didn't even apologize to my wife, who's sitting right here, because I didn't do anything. I didn't know any of these women. I didn't see these women. These women, the woman on the plane, the woman, I think they want either fame or her campaign did it. And I think it's her campaign.
Donald thinks belittling women makes him bigger. He goes after their dignity, their self-worth. And I don't think there is a woman anywhere who doesn't know what that feels like. So we now know what Donald thinks and what he says and how he acts toward women. That's who Donald is.
Of course, Trump's problems don't end there. He also continued to blame the media for what he calls a rigged election.
If you look at your voter rolls, you will see millions of people that are registered to vote. Millions. This isn't coming from me. This is coming from Pew Report and other places. Millions of people that are registered to vote that shouldn't be registered to vote. So let me just give you one other thing. So I talk about the corrupt media. I talk about the millions of people. Tell you one other thing. She shouldn't be allowed to run. She's guilty of a very, very serious crime. She should not be allowed to run. And just in that respect, I say it's rigged. Because she should never have been allowed to run for the presidency based on what she did with emails and so many other things. But
every time Donald thinks things are not going in his direction, he claims whatever it is rigged against him. The FBI conducted a year-long investigation into my emails. They concluded there was no case. He said the FBI was rigged. He lost the Iowa caucus. He lost the Wisconsin primary. He said the Republican primary was rigged against him. Then Trump University gets sued for fraud and racketeering. He claims the court system and the federal judge is rigged against him. There was even a time when he didn't get an Emmy for his TV program 3 years in a row, and he started tweeting that the Emmys were rigged against
him. Should have gotten it.
This is a mindset. This is how Donald thinks. And it's funny, but it's also really troubling.
All right, let's get to it. Joining us on our panel, we have A. Scott Bolden, defense attorney, partner for Reed Smith Law Firm. Huey Newsom, contributor for Bold Global. C.J. Gordon, former political and community affairs director for the 2016 RNC convention. Ray Baker of Ray Baker Media. All right, folks, so I want to start with off the top. Donald Trump does not acknowledge, it's interesting, before the debate, his daughter, his campaign manager, everybody else says, oh, no, he will accept the results of the election. He goes out there on the debate stage, the biggest stage, and won't even say those words. I don't understand, Huey. How do you shoot yourself in the foot? It's an easy answer. It's an easy answer. And now, for the next 2, 3, 4 days, he's going to have to answer to that.
No, it is unfortunate. I think that Republicans and Democrats alike have really been on edge about the inability of him to say that he's going to accept the results of this election. We have as fair of an election process as we can get. Is it perfect? No. I think that there is a conversation to be had about the role of the media, the duopoly that the two political parties have in our election process, but at the same time, the way to handle that isn't by saying, by hinting that you're not going to accept the results of this election.
But keep in mind, this is the same guy who got $2 billion worth of free media, who loved the media, who CJ was calling into every show. They were basically breaking their media rules, allowing him to call in. I mean, so this is a guy who has built his career on the media. So I find it's hilarious to listen to a guy whine and complain about the media when the reason you're even in this position is because the New York tabloids and other national media trumpeted him, put him on the air at any given time. I think it's hilarious.
Well, first of all, when we talk about the media, I think, one, we've seen as the different reports have come out that the media has been biased. But when we talk about the fact that he did go on the media, Hillary Clinton didn't make herself available to be interviewed.
Okay, here's my point, though. I'm trying to understand. Mm-hmm. Trying to understand. The media made you. And so it is hilarious to now whine about the media, mm-hmm. complaining about, oh, my God, the media, just like he whines down about the polls. But before, at any poll, he would tout. It's like, okay, I start losing, and now I'm going to complain about everything else when you were doing the exact opposite. That's presidential?
I think it is presidential to call out what you feel is unfair and what is biased. And it's not that he has not only called out his fellow journalists have also called out the fact that the media has not been fair and the coverage has not been fair. Okay. When we look at his statements and we look at the leaks that have come out and what things that Mrs. Clinton has done based on Haiti, things that she's done with Africa, with HIV/AIDS drugs. And so when we look at those particular things, there has not been a proper vetting of those particular issues.
Ray, I'm real confused right now because Donald Trump said last night, I didn't even apologize to my wife. His wife went on Anderson Cooper and said he apologized. Okay. Then he says, I didn't know those women. Then, which we know now is not the case because one of the women who's accused him was on his show, The Apprentice. Then he says last night also that he did not criticize the looks of the women. He was at a campaign rally 2 days ago doing the very same thing. Again, you're complaining because folks press rewind on your own words?
Mr. Trump has shown and demonstrated an unwillingness to take himself seriously, and thus none of us should take him seriously, only for the sheer fact that so many millions of Americans who vote in the Republican primary have named him and deemed him their nominee. What Mr. Trump also has continued to do time and time again is feed his base red meat. He seems to be one of those folks, and maybe if he were to be a preacher, perhaps one of the shady types, who would close his eyes to say a prayer and then peek open to see if the people were responding positively to it. If they indeed were, he would give them more of what he wants. Because clearly, he's feeding the audience, those with, we've labeled alt-right, but those of us who read know them to be white nationalists, those people right there specifically, he's feeding those people what it is they want to hear. And it has no value for truth, has no value for veracity, and it has no value for fact.
Shelley, go to my iPad, please. This was a statement, Scott, that Lindsey Graham, Republican senator from South Carolina, he released this statement last night, and so we're trying to get this straight here. Let me see if I can pull it up here. And this is interesting. Lindsey Graham said, quote, "Like most Americans, I have confidence in our democracy and election system. During this debate, Mr. Trump is doing the party and country a great disservice by continuing to suggest the outcome of this election is out of his hands and rigged against him. If he loses, it will not be because the system is rigged, but because he failed as a candidate." Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona and others have also been critical. Bottom line is, this is his own party. These are fellow Republicans.
Well, I think when you look at Donald Trump and whether it's the hypocrisy or the lying about his lies that he's told before, Donald Trump last night and throughout this campaign has put himself ahead of party, and now he's putting himself ahead of country. And if and when he loses, and most of us, based on the polling, thinks he's going to lose, his concession speech, if there is one, is going to be super important for pulling this country or at least his supporters together. Watch what happens on election night, because his supporters and his campaign people say he will accept the results, but Donald Trump doesn't accept losing very lightly, and words matter, quite frankly, and his words are dangerous.
One of the things that's interesting is, as I watched the debate last night and you're looking at the issues, he starts off even keel, tone, I thought, fairly strong. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching it, and Hillary Clinton used one word that led him on the path of being unhinged, when she said he choked in Mexico. Here, I'm watching it, and I'm going, watch what's about to happen. One word, that one word threw him off path the rest of the debate. When she dropped it, I'm sitting and I'm watching, and you can see his face. So everything he prepared for went right out the window, because he cannot handle a single insult. He throws them, but he can't handle one.
No, I think that, you know, whether it be the fact that he choked, or whether it be the cons at the convention, or whether it be the former Miss Universe at the previous debate, what Hillary Clinton has been able to do, unfortunately, she hasn't had to talk about issues because she has this bait, and Donald Trump keeps taking the bait. But what she hasn't had to do is talk about issues, because what happens is you throw out this carrot, people jump on it, the media jumps on it, whether it be the former Miss Universe or whatever it is, and we don't talk about issues. And so,
okay.
Excellent politicking. Excellent politicking.
If you're a woman.
I'm not saying.
No. If you're a woman, I think you probably think it's an issue if a presidential candidate insults a woman because of her weight, and he continued to insult her. I mean, see, here's the whole issue we talk about, the media jumping on it. No. Donald Trump continued that for a week.
I'm not defending Donald Trump. I think.
No, it's not defending Donald Trump. I'm just stating a fact.
Exactly. Donald Trump has driven the narrative on all of these issues. He sucks the air out of every political room.
But he said he was going to do it.
But hear me out. He drives this narrative. And when his supporters try to pivot, or they want to talk about the issues, well, Donald Trump's not talking about the substantive issues. He's talking about his attacks, or he's defending what he's done in the past. He's got to account for that. You can't blame Hillary for not talking about issues. He keeps creating these issues, and he sucks the wind out of them.
You don't think this is a tactic by the Clinton campaign to throw this bait out, and knowing he's going to jump on it?
There's nothing wrong with throwing bait out. But he baits her, too.
But Huey, last I checked, you are supposed to be professional enough to know not to fall for the bait. He falls for the banana and the tailpipe every time. And I'm telling you, I'm watching the debate, CJ and Ray, and I'm watching it. And when she hit choke, I tweeted, y'all watch this. Mr. Unhinged is about to be revealed.
And she was unhinged herself, her temperament. She talked over the moderator several times. She went past her 2 minutes. So, I mean, her temperament wasn't just...
Is that our definition for unhinged now?
Wow.
I don't think he's unhinged at all.
That's a very demonstrated
version. I'm not saying she did not demonstrate those things. I'm saying that's a very low and intellectually dishonest bar for unhinged. Now, furthermore on Mr. Trump's piece, Huey, you made an interesting point about the idea of policy, right? Donald Trump has been able to successfully gain the nomination of a major American party without having any public policy. If we examine his policy on economics, the one thing one might argue that he should be some level of expert on, he argues time and time again how problematic NAFTA was, North American free trade, and then comes behind it by saying we're going to have so much bigly free trade, so much bigly free trade. Like, Mr. Trump, when asked about the, he criticizes President Obama and Secretary Clinton's foreign policy, which there may be ground to do so. When asked about his options, we can't give our plan away. We can't tell you just yet. Mr. Trump literally is trying to campaign for president without any presidential policies, which is problematic if anyone's going to make the counter argument about Secretary Clinton.
It's unfortunate that Donald Trump is the vehicle. It's the way it is. It's unfortunate he is the vehicle, but there are a lot of problems with NAFTA, for instance. That's not necessarily free trade, right? There are a lot of other policy issues that need to be discussed. Criticisms of what the Democrats have done, either under Clinton or under Obama. The problem is Donald Trump is a lightning rod. And so many times, just like what we've seen in the last few debates, just like what we saw at the convention, so many times we divert away from those policy discussions I want to have. And we start talking
Trump,
about things
like, yes, and I do concede your point. Yeah. There may be space to criticize, but Donald Trump is the least qualified human being that has spoken as candidate for president of the United States to make that criticism.
Hold tight one second. Going to a break right now. We come back, more of last night's debate. We'll talk about also the issue that came up, and that is abortion.
We are saying in the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby.
Well, that is not what happens in these cases, and using that kind of scare rhetoric is just terribly unfortunate.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Supreme Court was a huge issue in last night's debate. Trump and Clinton both offered vastly different visions for the direction of the court, clashed over their decision when it comes to abortion as well as the Second Amendment.
I strongly support Roe v. Wade, which guarantees a constitutional right to a woman to make the most intimate, most difficult, in many cases, decisions about her health care that one can imagine. And in this case, it's not only about Roe v. Wade. It is about what's happening right now in America. So many states are putting very stringent regulations on women that block them from exercising that choice, to the extent that they are defunding Planned Parenthood, which of course, provides all kinds of cancer screenings and other benefits for women in our country. Donald has said he's in favor of defunding Planned Parenthood. He even supported shutting the government down to defund Planned Parenthood. I will defend Planned Parenthood. I will defend Roe v. Wade, and I will defend women's rights to make their own health care decisions.
Well, I think it's terrible if you go with what Hillary is saying. In the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Now, you can say that that's okay, and Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me. Because based on what she's saying and based on where she's going and where she's been, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb in the ninth month on the final day. And that's not acceptable.
Well, that is not what happens in these cases. And using that kind of scare rhetoric is just terribly unfortunate. I understand that Donald's been strongly supported by the NRA. The gun lobby's on his side. They're running millions of dollars of ads against me. And I regret that, because what I would like to see is for people to come together and say, of course, we're going to protect and defend the Second Amendment, but we're going to do it in a way that tries to save some of these 33,000 lives that we lose every year.
In Chicago, which has the toughest gun laws in the United States, probably you could say by far, they have more gun violence than any other city. So we have the toughest laws and you have tremendous gun violence. I am a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment, and I am, I don't know if Hillary was saying it in a sarcastic manner, but I'm very proud to have the endorsement of the NRA, and it's the earliest endorsement they've ever given to anybody who ran for president. So I'm very honored by all of that. We are going to appoint justices. This is the best way to help the Second Amendment. We are going to appoint justices that will feel very strongly about the Second Amendment, that will not do damage to the Second Amendment.
All right, folks, let's get right to it. Something that jumped out to me, I'm still laughing about it.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black Thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
It just automatically happens. Like, you sort of, the moment you appoint them, it goes, hey, law goes out the window. I mean, I'm not an attorney or anything. By this, to the Holiday Inn Express, I'm just trying to say, what?
I'd be surprised, though, if Donald Trump were to win the election, he does appoint a Supreme Court justice. I'd be surprised if conservatives don't try to figure out a way to expedite something to the Supreme Court very quickly to overturn Roe v.
Yeah, but the point I'm making, Scott, is the dude literally says, oh, yeah, it happens automatically. It's gone.
He has no concept or precept of not only how government works, but that Supreme Court justice or one or two or three that he's got to appoint has got to be approved by the Senate. And I'll be honest with you, any Supreme Court justice nominee that goes to the Senate and says how he would rule ahead of time simply can't be confirmed. So they will try to mask it in some way.
No one appointed, man or woman, is likely going to say, oh, yeah, but I'm going to rule this way.
Absolutely, but they want that mindset. They want to know the mindset of that judge because they do want to overturn Roe v. Wade, but there are several other justices there who have something to say about that.
But let's be fair, though.
Even conservative ones who have had a chance to tear away at it, and even in those prior decisions the last couple of years, they haven't chosen to do so.
I think you make a great point. I think a potential judge that's in front of the Senate should not say whether or not he or she would judge a certain way until they see the merits of the case. That's fair. But at the same time, politicians do this all the time. Hillary Clinton has said, you know, she's not going to appoint a judge that would not overturn Citizens United several times.
But no, look, I'm fully understanding of what kind of judge they're going to appoint. I'm just saying, dude, they can't just automatically overturn a decision. That's kind of not how the court operates. No. I want to go to the Second Amendment. And this has been back and forth, CJ and Ray, in terms of this whole idea that Hillary Clinton wants to. I mean, Trump keeps saying she wants to get rid of the Second Amendment. Okay, last night she makes it clear. She says, no, that's simply not the case. And he keeps saying that because, again, you have all these gun enthusiasts, some gun nuts, who just think that they kept saying, Obama's going to just take our guns. And then he brought up Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted this the moment he brought up Chicago. Talking about, the toughest gun laws, and they have the shooting violence in Chicago. Yeah, it's a thing called gun shops that ring Illinois in Indiana. I lived there 6 years, okay? Cops have traced the number of guns that have been used in that city back to gun shops there in Indiana. You can't just sort of ignore that reality to say, well, the gun laws in Chicago, as if those gun shops that ring the city don't exist.
I think first, when we look at the fact that, you know, Clinton has constantly flip-flopped on the Second Amendment, Donald Trump, as president, is going to protect the Second Amendment.
What did she flip-flop on?
When the fact that In the WikiLeaks stuff, she talks about that she wanted to get rid of and change the Second Amendment, and she wanted to take away people's guns. So at the end of the day, African Americans used a gun to fight for our freedom. We have the right for to own guns, to protect ourselves, to protect our property. And again, when we talk about Chicago, not everybody is going to the outer rings. You look at those who are in gangs and drugs, some of those are getting their guns from south of the border. Yes, are some people going to the outer rings? But those who are criminals are not buying and purchasing their guns legally.
Actually, you're wrong.
Can I get a point of clarification?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
When you said the gang members are getting their guns from the south of the border of Illinois?
No, south of the border coming through Mexico, you know. Yes. The same way they're getting their drugs.
So, to be fair, that is indeed wrong. And the second point that we have to consider is that the Supreme Court is greater than just the question of abortion and Roe versus
Precisely.
And the Second mm-hmm. Amendment. Exactly. And in fact, if there would be a criticism of Secretary Clinton in that debate, it would be that she allowed Mr. Trump to narrowly tailor the conversation about Supreme Court nominations mm-hmm. to exclusively those 2 points.
Actually, that wasn't him. That was Chris Wallace.
Right.
Well, first of all,
the question about the Supreme Court,
yeah,
and then Mr. Trump pivoted toward the Second Amendment.
No. Chris Wallace The first two questions he brought up were about the Supreme Court, and they dealt specifically with Second Amendment and abortion. Yes, and you're absolutely right. I felt last night it should have been brought up when it comes to the Supreme Court and the Voting Rights Act. It should have been brought up to the Supreme Court when it comes to the issue of the death penalty. They were, to me, it should have been broader. Those to me were two obviously hot button issues where it could have gone broader than just those two and introduced other issues that gave you an insight into what both candidates had to say.
But that would have been a much longer debate because you could go through all of those issues.
No, I mean, but you could have brought them up.
Scott, to be honest, that would have been a much more substantive debate, which is inconsistent with what Mr. Trump has been doing since his candidacy began.
But here's another inconsistency, and I know we've talked about this on the show. Does the NRA and gun rights and the Second Amendment just apply to people who don't look like us, or does it apply to African Americans? Because he brought up Chicago in defense of the Second Amendment, which would seem to argue that he wants to put more guns on the street, whether they're legal or illegal. The NRA is always standing up for the nationalists and those who want to protect their property out west. And yet, when it comes to African Americans, the NRA cannot be heard and cannot be found on the issue. And so Donald Trump's another position is inconsistent, because if you're big Second Amendment, then African Americans ought to be, you want to put more guns into a community that doesn't need any more guns. Yeah,
and also, folks, the polling is not with them on that, because a significant number of Americans do believe in sensible gun control. Exactly. A significant amount. I mean, even after Sandy Hook, the numbers, the polling numbers don't lie. And for the folks who, again, who love polling when it's on their side versus others, the bottom line is numbers don't lie. And I think gun control is an issue where Americans are saying, okay, because look, Donald Trump made it clear. Chris Wallace said it. He wants to lift the restrictions on assault rifles. His whole deal is forget all those bans. That to me is crazy.
Close, no loopholes.
You do have a group of individuals who are gun enthusiasts who use that for sporting. And at the end of the day, they should have that right.
Assault rifles?
They should have their right
to use those. CJ, you do know that police chiefs and law enforcement agencies across the country.
And that's why you have a legislature.
No, but you do know that police chiefs and law enforcement agencies, people who Republicans say they absolutely love and adore, they are dead set against having more assault weapons on American streets. Police.
And I do understand it. And that was one of the issues that were brought. But at the end of the day, the Fraternal Order of Police did endorse Mr. Trump. And that is something that will be dealt with through the legislature.
And I guarantee you, the Fraternal Order of Police, if a cop gets gunned down by an assault rifle somewhere.
And they did in Dallas.
Right, and precisely. And they were upset by that. And guess what? That was a former member of the military who also dealt with PTSD, who had his gun taken. And all I'm saying is this here. You can say gun enthusiasts all you want to, but to think that you need an assault rifle, when the cops say, don't put allow those, my deal is, when Republicans are going to listen to the cops on that. We come back, we'll talk about Clinton and Trump clashing on the issue of taxes and dealing with the national debt. That's also a big issue.
Her plan is going to raise taxes and even double your taxes. Her tax plan is a disaster.
The fact is, he's going to advocate for the largest tax cuts we've ever seen.
My name is Leah Daughtry. I am the CEO of the 2016 Democratic National Convention. You only get one vote. Use it.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
All right, y'all, it kind of was another issue on the debate card with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump outlining their approach to Social Security, health care, and blasting each other's tax plans. Here is a snapshot of what they had to say.
Her plan is going to raise taxes and even double your taxes. Her tax plan is a disaster. And she can say all she wants about college tuition. And I'm a big proponent. We're going to do a lot of things for college tuition, but the rest of the public's going to be paying for it. We will have a massive, massive tax increase under Hillary Clinton's plan.
He's going to advocate for the largest tax cuts we've ever seen, three times more than the tax cuts under the Bush administration. I have said repeatedly throughout this campaign, I will not raise taxes on anyone making $250,000 or less. I also will not add a penny to the debt. If you look at the debt, which is the issue you asked about, Chris, I pay for everything I'm proposing. I do not add a penny to the national debt. I take that very seriously because I do think it's one of the issues we've got to come to grips with. So when I talk about how we're going to pay for education, how we're going to invest in infrastructure, how we're going to get the cost of prescription drugs down, and a lot of the other issues that people talk to me about all the time, I've made it very clear we are going where the money is. We are going to ask the wealthy and corporations to pay their fair share.
We're bringing GDP from really 1%, which is what it is now, and if she got in, it'll be less than zero. But we're bringing it from 1% up to 4%, and I actually think we can go higher than 4%. I think you can go to 5 or 6%. And if we do, you don't have to bother asking your question, because we have a tremendous machine. We will have created a tremendous economic machine once again. To do that, we're taking back jobs. We're not going to let our companies be raided by other countries where we lose all our jobs. We don't make our product anymore. It's very sad. But I'm going to create the kind of a country that we were from the standpoint of industry. We used to be there. We have to repeal and replace Obamacare. You take a look at the kind of numbers that will cost us in the year 17. It is a disaster if we don't repeal and replace. Now, it's probably going to die of its own weight, but Obamacare has to go. The premiums are going up 60, 70, 80%. Next year, they're going to go up over 100%. And I'm really glad that the premiums have started. At least the people see what's happening, because she wants to keep Obamacare and she wants to make it even worse. And it can't get any worse. Bad health care at the most expensive price. We have to repeal and replace Obamacare.
I am on record as saying that we need to put more money into the Social Security Trust Fund. That's part of my commitment to raise taxes on the wealthy. My Social Security payroll contribution will go up, as will Donald's, assuming he can't figure out how to get out of it. But what we want to do is to replenish the Social Security Trust Fund by making sure that we have sufficient resources. And that will come from either raising the cap and or finding other ways to get more money into it. I will not cut benefits. I want to enhance benefits for low-income workers and for women who have been disadvantaged by the current Social Security system. But what Donald is proposing with these massive tax cuts will result in a $20 trillion additional national debt. That will have dire consequences for Social Security and Medicare. And I'll say something about the Affordable Care Act, which he wants to repeal. The Affordable Care Act extended the solvency of the Medicare Trust Fund. So if he repeals it, our Medicare problem gets worse.
All right, folks, welcome back. A. Scott Bolden. We also have Huey Newsom, C.J. Jordan, and Ray Baker. Okay, on this whole issue, this, I thought, should have been Donald Trump's strong point. Mm-hmm. Should have been. Mm-hmm. But then when she lays out in terms of the issues that she wants to be able to impact, I thought her first answer was too muddled. She is a whole bunch of stuff in it. I thought the second answer that she gave there was a lot better answer. Again, Ray, how'd you score that round there in terms of the economy?
So I still scored that towards Secretary Clinton, right? And again, we're understanding that the metric that we're measuring by is a competent candidate for president of the United States, who one you may agree or disagree with. And then there's Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So understanding that, then I don't think Mr. Trump has much of ground to stand on. One point that I did think was interesting is this question of what we call Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. There's been enough opportunity for critics and supporters alike to be able to have traction in what they think about this bill, particularly if you're a supporter and you want to say about the 20 million Americans who now are insured, yeah, who've now been moved into healthcare solvency and are in a good place. Also, we see number of states claiming time and time again that they are not able to provide the exchanges, financially hold up to it. However, some of these states, some of these Republican-controlled states, haven't even opted into it to allow the block grants from the federal government anyway, so that makes that number problematic. So I think that would have been a place, if Mr. Trump was interested in policy, Huey, which we discussed earlier, mm-hmm, which he seemingly has an aversion to, he could have really unpacked it, but his audience doesn't seem to be interested in unpacking the meat of that content.
You know, what's interesting is the Obamacare is not perfect, but the demographic that Obamacare has made a huge difference in is poor people, black, white, yellow, or brown.
No, largely white, blue-collar men in the South.
In red states, that get more entitlements and benefits than several other states, the majority of states north of them. And so this debate was really interesting. It would have been more interesting had Donald Trump not started talking about taking Obamacare away and gotten some depth and substance into this policy, because this really is an important issue. They got into the issues, and you know, Hillary is a policy wonk. She's been working in this space for 30 years, making a difference, notwithstanding what Donald Trump says. And Donald Trump could not really contribute to the debate in any depth or substance because he has pronouncements and he has sound bites. But this is something that really you need substance and you have to study, and he just doesn't do that.
Here's one mistake that I think she made, and he gave her a huge opening. So she talked about him using dumped Chinese steel for his buildings.
Mm-hmm.
He actually admitted it.
Yeah, he ignored it. He didn't respond.
He actually admitted it. Now, when she came back, she focused on the 30 years of experience, and I'm sitting there going, okay, he just admitted it. I used dumped Chinese steel. And again, it's one of those things where you talk about the economy. Dude, you talk about make America great again.
Right.
If you look at what he did, he admits to using dumped Chinese steel.
Yes.
He admits, yes, to moving jobs to Mexico, moving jobs to China. Uh-huh. Then he wants to say, oh, no, I'm the one who can change this. And I'm sitting here going, well, American steel wasn't good enough for your buildings?
No, no. And this is going back to what we talked. It's a pattern, right? He is unfortunately the vehicle to go against a lot of these policies that have hurt Americans, right? Because free trade and fair trade, right? This whole idea that we have free and fair trade with these trade deals isn't the truth. Yes, China's been dumping, Korea's been dumping, Asia's been dumping steel into the United States for ages. However, and nobody's done anything to stop it. However, Donald Trump has been a beneficiary of it.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that it hasn't happened, and doesn't mean that Americans have unfairly been hurt. But unfortunately, Donald Trump isn't the best vehicle because he's been a beneficiary.
And CJ, it's hard to listen to a guy who decries something, but then goes, well, I personally benefited from it. But so you're just like the other big business interests in America who are sitting here saying, hey, I love this system because I personally get to benefit financially.
Well, at the end of the day, that's one of the reasons that he decided to run. Because, yes, he has benefited from... He had benefited from the system, and he knew the system was not correct. And therefore, that is one of the reasons he's running. And again, it comes back to NAFTA, which Hillary Clinton supported, and her husband. And then we talk about TPP, which she said is a gold standard. And we know, based on Ohio, Pennsylvania, those trade deals have been on the table for a while with NAFTA, and they need to be renegotiated. They're over 20 years of old, and so it's like anything. It's like any major agreement, they are hurting the economy.
But
and
the guy and who has benefited, you think the guy who's benefited is the one who says, I'm going to change it?
Who better to say that versus someone who's been in politics for 30 years,
Hold on, stop. First of all, I got to go to a break. But right now, let me just shut this nonsense down. One, she's not been in politics 30 years. How long was she a United States Senator?
Well, She was six. She's talking 30 years from going back to Arkansas. So that is the time span.
We're going to play this game of, okay, you've been in politics. No. Was she Secretary of State? Yes. Was she United States Senator? Yes.
No jobs.
But we're not going to sit here and all of a sudden say, because you were First Lady, somehow you were actually a political leader where you could have actually changed that. No. So, I mean, I get that's cute using the 30 years, but factually, that's grossly incorrect.
Was she not in charge
That's like saying that Michelle Obama has been in politics for the last 25 years. No. Her husband has been. She's simply been married to the guy who's a politician. She was involved in that, but she wasn't in politics for 30 years. We're going to talk about Russia next, and that's going to be interesting. Did Donald Trump even admit that Russia is involved in hacking the United States? Next on News 1 Now, TV 1.
From everything I see, has no respect for this person.
Well, that's because he'd rather have a puppet as president.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with your host, Roland Martin.
All right, y'all. Trump says that, he doesn't know Vladimir Putin and not quite sure that they are interfering with the United States election. That was an interesting part of the exchange last night. I don't need to play the sound, but I want to go to our panel right here just to talk about it. For the longest, he would not say that Russia was hack in the U.S.
But
I thought the strongest point last night was when Hillary Clinton said, "I'm sorry, are you saying you don't agree with 17 United States military and civilian agencies?" Right there. Now he goes, "Oh, I got general support in me." But dude, 17 intelligence agencies, you don't believe them, Huey? And he finally, after constantly being pressed, had to say, "Oh, okay, all right, I'll sort of accept it."
It wasn't his best moment, was it? No, I think it is a bit troubling how, you know, I was surprised how he kind of engaged Putin and even almost gave him more credibility than the person he was facing, you know, the former Secretary of State versus, you know, a Putin who's more aggressive and knows more. He even did the same with other dictators. So, you know, that part's troubling. I think that, you know, there's something there in terms of how he's engaged Putin and Russia, and even the joking of, oh, maybe they can hack the other 33,000 emails, going back to the scandal of Hillary Clinton. But no, it is troubling how this campaign is engaged Russia. It's indefensible.
But beyond that, it has not condemned the WikiLeaks that has been confirmed that Russia is behind it. That's the first thing. But let's be real clear about this. This is just another lie, because we know that Donald Trump on video in his own statements, it says that he did know Putin, does know Putin, likes Putin. His son says they had a lot of business going on in Russia. And it's unclear. He won't answer questions about any relationships he has with Russian oligarchs. This is about America and where our standing is in the international market. But Russia, make no mistake, is an enemy of ours. He's even gone so far as to say that Russian's strongman Putin, he not only idolizes but is a stronger leader than Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
That's completely almost
treasonous.
Earlier you talked about flip flop. The dude last night said, "I don't know Putin."
Exactly.
He's on record as saying, "I know Putin."
That's right.
Okay, which one is it? I mean, literally, it's either, if I say I met Huey and then I've never met Huey, then I'm lying. Which one is it?
I think, again, he's had some business dealings in Russia.
I'm getting to your answer. He said last night, "I don't know Putin." Before, he has consistently said, "I know Putin." Either he's lying, which one is it?
I think, again, he is a person who has business dealings in Russia. It might not be the bromance that you would like to...
I'm sorry, I didn't say bromance. I just simply said no.
It might not be the bromance.
I don't have a bromance with Ray Huey or Scott, but if somebody say, "Roland, do you know Ray Baker?" Yes. Do you know Huey Newsom?
As far as the bromance,
yes. Do you know Scott Bolden? Yes.
And so at the end of the day, he probably does know Mr. Putin.
So
it's not a bromance.
Okay, but last
time, we have not talked about Uranium-1, in which Mrs. the foundation and Russia has given the foundation lots of money.
Here's the pivot.
No.
Ray,
I need you to comment on that.
And it gets
again,
to the reset
this,
button.
This goes to credibility. When a person wants to be president, says repeatedly, "Oh, I know him. Then it's like, "Oh, I don't know him. No, I've never met him. No, I don't know him." And last night he goes, "I don't know him." Dude, which is it? You either know him or you don't know him.
This is consistent with the entire pattern of Donald Trump lying, misremembering, if we're being generous, being inconsistent, flip-flopping, any of this language, right? If we think about this, one of the hallmarks of the 2012 debates was when President Barack Obama told Governor Romney, the '80s called, they want their foreign policy back, because all Governor Romney kept saying was Russia this, Russia that. Right. When did this become a remake of like Rocky IV, where the United States was worried about big, bad Russia?
Gotcha.
Where all of our language and conversation there. And lastly, the thing that Donald Trump talks about, he wants to comment on the startup treaty. Does he mean the START treaty? Like, why is he calling this a startup?
Well, actually, "Start Me Up" was a Rolling Stone song. I got to go to a break once you pick up on that point when we come back. Immigration did come up in debate last night. First time out of all debates. We'll break it down next. News 1 Now on TV 1.
But we have some bad hombres here, and we're going to get them out.
When it comes to the wall that Donald talks about building, he went to Mexico. He had a meeting with the Mexican president. Didn't even raise it. He choked.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin. Every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
All right, immigration came up last night, and both candidates laid out their perspectives on that. And it was Donald Trump who talked about bad hombres. that got a lot of Latinos hot on social media last night. Let's go back to our panel here. We played that clip going to the break. You just drop your head and you just...
Because it's a pattern. I'm saying the same thing over and over again. We need to have a discussion about immigration. Do you build a wall? I don't agree that you build a wall. But there needs to be a discussion. But if someone is going to say bad hombre, how do they show themselves as being objective and fair in determining immigration policy? It's incredible.
Well, you also can't deport 11 million people at one time. And Hillary Clinton wants a passive citizenship because that really is reasonable. When he used the term last night, it's hombre, not hombre. But it reminded me of the tweet about a year ago on Cinco de Mayo or in May,
yes,
where
he
tweeted a picture of him eating a taco bowl at his restaurant or in his office from his restaurant saying, I love the Hispanics, and he's eating the taco bowl. He thought that was funny. He thought that was Latino outreach. It really isn't. Donald, that's not how you outreach to Latinos. And really, telling all Americans that we got problems and we get shot walking down the street, that's not how you reach out to African Americans.
Well, Hillary is reaching out because she's telling everybody she wants open borders. So, hey, come on over.
She wants reasonable citizenship, not based on those wikileaks.
She said open borders. She wants open borders.
Anybody doing anything illegal in this country is simply going to have to go under Obama as well as under Hillary Clinton.
So one of the things that I also thought was intellectually dishonest was when Donald Trump said, well, we have undocumented citizens, he didn't use such polite language, undocumented citizens who are committing murders in this country, and that's a bad thing. I have a mother of one who's here who I know.
Mm-hmm.
Americans kill each other every day because violence is the American language.
That's right.
So if you seriously are concerned about whether violence is happening in our nation, there are tons of ways, including gun laws, to be able to approach this, to be serious about it, but we see that it's just a talking point. Furthermore, just for the optics of it, Scott, you brought up a great point. When you talked about how he used the language hombre and bad hombres, contrast that with vice presidential candidate Senator Kaine giving a speech, a public policy speech, in Spanish, right? Mm-hmm. So the optics of that now look completely different.
Hey, but hey, he spoke Spanish
black
last
folks
night.
Giving us, hey, you know, calling black folks predators. There's optics on that as well.
He spoke Spanish last night.
Listen, let me.
Should we give him credit for that?
No, he can't get credit for that. But let me get
back real quick before I go to break.
Hillary Clinton, this whole super predator thing, if you read the speech, if you read the paragraph before and afterwards, she's talking about people who commit violent crimes, horrendous crimes in our communities. And she qualified that term super predator. She didn't just say it with a blanket statement of all African Americans. The Republicans have twisted that. But I urge everyone listening and everyone who's on this panel to read the paragraph lead in to super predator and afterwards. It is a super qualifier on people, gang members who commit violence. We all want that to go away.
All right. Final thoughts.
Wrong,
going to a break. Final thoughts when we come back. News 1 TV 1.
Hi, this is Sean Patrick Thomas. You have got just one vote. Use it.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV.
All right, y'all, real quick here, final thoughts on debate last night. Bottom line is we have 19 days. I'm telling y'all right now, if this election went on 3 more months, I would rather have the Zika virus and sit at home and throw up all day. I'm so sick of this. It's 19 days. We're in the middle of early voting right now. How do you see this thing moving forward? What must Trump do to try to close the gap? What does Clinton do to widen the gap? Real quick, Ray.
I don't think that Trump does anything to close the gap. Clinton doesn't widen the gap. I think that America is going to get the president America deserves based on these two nominees.
Huey?
Yeah, I don't think Trump closes the gap either. It's unfortunate because I don't think that Hillary Clinton has been properly vetted. I don't think we've asked a tough substantive policy issue.
You mean 30 years? No vetting? Scott?
I didn't say that.
I don't think Trump does anything. The numbers are baked in. His positions are baked in. His 15 to 30 million people will come out. He loses. Hillary Clinton gets over 300 electoral votes.
CJ?
I think all he has to do is just stay on message and drive home an economic message the next 19 days. Most people forget in 1992, Bill Clinton was down, and he came back as the comeback kid and beat former President Bush. So there's still hope. As Jim said, keep hope alive.
Let me say this here. Factually, no candidate in American history has been down, in modern history, has been down this many points at this stage of the election and won. President Bill Clinton was not down the number of points that Bill Clinton, President Clinton was not down the number of points that Donald Trump is right now. Also, keep in mind, that was a three-candidate race. Yeah, you have Gary Johnson and Jill Stein. Their numbers combined will not equal Ross Perot's numbers in this election. And when you say all he has to do is stay on message.
He can't.
Really? Really? CJ, stop praying. Stop praying, because you're going to need that to happen.
You're
going to need to put in some OT prayers. He's going to stay on message. All right, y'all. Don't forget, tomorrow right here at News 1 Now, we have a special, Is School Choice the Black Choice? We convene the town hall meeting featuring educators and activists for and against the growth of charter schools and also school vouchers. We've got Dr. Steve Perry, Capital Preparatory School, Shavar Jeffries, Democrats for Education Reform, Hillary Shelton from the NAACP, many others, Donald Hintz, of course, Friendship Charters here in D.C. You do not want to miss it. It's going to be Friday, 7 a.m., part one of our Is School Choice the Black Choice special. Part two will air next Friday, October 28th. Also, don't forget, if you miss News 1 Now, we're going to repeat the show right after this. And so don't think that we're still here talking. That's just going to be the rebroadcast. So that's going to be every single day as well. Hit me up on Twitter at Roland S. Martin. Also, hit me up on Facebook as well. Love for you to friend us. Look forward to more of a great conversation. Don't forget, folks, early voting has started in your state. Go vote. And you know what I believe? If you don't vote, shut the hell up. I got to go. Holla!
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with your host, Roland Martin.